from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moving around like a chess piece, I mean, I love it. Shows that you can have some versatility and that you actually know what you're doing out there, and you can build more trust between you, your OC, and your quarterback.
I mean, it's everything I thought it was going to be, honestly. You know, he's a great quarterback in this league. You know, my job is to go out there and make sure I'm in tune with the playbook, make sure I know what I'm doing, you know, build that trust with him to know that when I'm out there, I understand what my assignment is.
No such thing as an X or Y or Z. You got to get open. You call the receiver, not whatever receiver. You just got to be able to get open. And it's hard to learn the playbook just trying to learn one position, because you can easily be on the other side of the field, in the slot, outside, inside. You could be motioning to it, different things like that. So I learned the playbook conceptually. So I learned concept by concept and learned every single spot.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning from St. John Fisher. We're back. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. And brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, Josh Schmidt is back producing after a little getaway of his own where he went to see, Polo?
That is correct.
There was a polo match.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
horses, men and women on horses smacking the ball around. A polo match.
Yeah.
It was nothing of what I expected, and it was amazing. It was weird, but also kind of cool. You got to go out on the field at halftime and at the end of the game. We got a picture with one of the guys on his horse.
I was going to say, I wanted you to finish that sentence with, I got a picture with one of the horses.
With one of the horses, right.
The star of the show?
Yeah, and it's weird, too, because they change horses every single – they call it chuckers. They're not periods.
Next man up,
not quarters.
Man. Obviously, like Sean McDermott rotates his defensive line, you got to rotate horses.
Exactly, yeah. But it was basically soccer on horses with some little tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
A dog ran onto the field at one point, which thankfully there wasn't a play going on, but that's something I've never seen.
It was just a wayward dog. He wasn't working there.
Nope, he was someone's dog. Like there were it honestly, the vibe of the atmosphere was like a Bills tailgate, but like more calm. Like people were there with tents and grills and like giant tables full of food and coolers and everything. And like we sat up like in like the grandstand area, which really wasn't much, but like the majority of the fans that sat there were all like under tents with like grills and food and things like that. And it was honestly kind of a cool atmosphere, but it was just, I didn't know what to expect. So it was weird, but interesting.
Very different if you're watching the Olympic Games, polo, very different from water polo.
Yeah, there are no horses.
That's right.
I believe in water
there
polo.
There are not. It's a very different game.
Yes, it's very different.
And hey, you can lead a horse to water, but not make him play polo.
That's right. You cannot make him play water polo.
Yeah. Are they called sticks? The things
mallets.
That they're hitting the ball with.
Mallets. Yeah. Mallets.
Okay. The polo mallets.
Polo mallets. All right. Hey, coming up today, we've got Sal Capaccio joining us at 7 to recap the weekend at training camp. We'll talk to Matt Perino of the Shout podcast. He does with Brian Talbot. And at 9 o'clock, Steve Tasker. You know, Tasker's always walking through here, and I told him last week, hey, we'll hammer you down for a day, pin you down on a day, and today's the day. So Steve Tasker joins us at 9 o'clock. Full coverage here from St. John Fisher once again. There's a lot of different ways to go to start. You have anything top of mind? I've got a million things written down to get to, some about the historical context of today, because it's going to be maybe 90 degrees here today and tomorrow.
Yeah,
the forecast here in Rochester calls for, I don't know if we say extreme heat, but close.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a high of, well, let me double check here. My phone's going to update to Rochester, not Buffalo. But it's going to be hot.
It's going to be at least high 80s, I think I saw, and maybe also humid today at practice.
And not breezy.
Yeah.
And it's true in Buffalo, too, listening on the way in. So it's going to be hot. There's that. You'd practice yesterday. We've got all the receivers saying everybody eats. I'd like to get into that. We've got a Tua contract.
Yes.
That's in the book.
I'm
ready to go with you on that. We've got a Jordan Love contract extension as well. We've got
Keon Coleman making some plays,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay, let's start there.
That's kind of the thing that was on the top of my mind that was from the weekend. I was at practice on Friday. Wasn't there Sunday, but I saw a lot of the reaction in the clips. Did you see Ian Harditz's tweet?
I did not, but
from Fantasy Life.
But I saw Brett Coleman's tweet about Keon Coleman, and we can probably compare them and get going.
Just I feel like this kind of encapsulates the weekend, or maybe just training camp in football in general, and how we treat it, how we digest it. Where Ian Harditz tweeted, April 27th to July 27th, Keon Coleman might have a bright future, but sure looks like Bills are going to bring him along slowly. Still a lot to learn. No reason to get wild expectations for 2024. July 28th. Holy bleep, look at this 10-yard touchdown in practice.
Yes. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Here's Brett Coleman. I know it's irresponsible to make evaluations, but just on vibes, Keon Coleman feels like one of those receivers we look back on in 6 and 7 years and wonder how the hell he slipped.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for Sal at 7, because he was here over the weekend, we've seen some Coleman. You know, the first couple days we were here, he's out there.
I was on the sidelines on, I think it was Friday, when he beat Rasul Douglas over the top for a touchdown.
Okay. So the question for Sal will be, and maybe he can't answer it today, it's something to watch over the course of this week and next week, is Coleman having Kincaid's camp? There's a lot of consonant. Is Keon Coleman having Kincaid's camp? Which is, last year, Dalton Kincaid showed up and was just good.
Yep.
He's a part of the offense.
Everyone said he looked like a pro.
Yep. He fit right in. There was no bring him along slowly. He was just good. And is Keon Coleman having that camp? The kind of camp where, listen, at mini camp or OTAs, whichever one, Brandon Bean talked about how much he's got to learn. And some took that to be a little bit of a, hey, temper expectations. He's a rookie. Not everybody comes in and has monster seasons. In fact, rookie 1,000-yard receivers, there's not a lot of those in league history.
Not. No.
So you got Bean doing that back at OTAs. And now what you might have is Coleman making enough plays and making enough of an impression where expectations are going to start creeping back up again.
Yeah. Towards maybe flirt with 1,000 yards.
Sure.
Or be one of those. They're not even receiver. They're not quite anomalies. It's just rare that a receiver gets Puka Nacua had 1,500 last year, didn't he?
Right.
That's a guy, by the way, I think I heard on a fantasy podcast Coleman getting compared to. I don't know how bad that is. Coleman to Puka Nacua.
It seems.
Maybe it was just the big slot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it ended. But Coleman's expectations for touchdowns too, because a lot of the plays I saw him make were like kind of red zone near the end zone where he was beating a guy just a little bit and then would make the catch even if it was a little bit tough. That appears to be like every play I feel like I've seen him make in camp, I think has been in the end zone.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, they've done a lot of red zone.
They've done right. I was gonna say the team's done a lot of that.
Yep.
So that contributes to it, but you know, I'll be interested to hear from Sal or maybe more so from Bean or McDermott and Brady throughout the next week or two. Like, how's he doing with the other stuff?
Yeah.
Because, okay, he can come out here and make plays, and that will get him on the field, but it won't have him playing the amount that Gabe Davis was playing or even 70% of the amount that Gabe Davis was playing in that X position. And if he is slow at getting a lot of that, then who gets on the field more? Then you're looking at Matt Collins on the field more, and you're looking at maybe Valdez Scantling on the field more. Kincaid, for how good a camp he had last year, and he got some work early in the year before Knox got injured, go look at the snap counts. Like, he was playing like less than 60% of their snaps on offense. I think tight end's different, of course, because of, you know, 12 personnel is just not as regular in the league, but that other stuff's going to matter for Coleman being on the field above making plays, because if you want to be out there all the time running as many routes as possible, then he's going to have to be a full-force pro receiver right away here.
They're putting him in the slot in the open that Josh played. You hear him talking about, you know, different positions and learning concepts. We've got Joe Brady from last week saying, we don't have positions, we have concepts. Is that what it was?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Anybody could play any position in any concept.
Sure. And there's a little bit from the weekend of Curtis Samuel taking running back snaps. That might have been in part because James Cook had a personal day, missed some time.
Yep.
The thing about camp, and here's your grain of salt. I saw last year, 2 years ago, I'm losing count. 2 years ago, it was Isaiah McKenzie in the backfield all the time. Oh, he's going to go to the backfield. Didn't happen.
Do you remember who it was last year?
Jamison Crowder.
Okay.
Because 2 years ago, it was Jameis. Oh,
there was a different guy last year.
Last year
it
was Diggs.
No, last year it was Knox.
Knox. Dawson Knox in the backfield.
Knox was in the backfield last year. Everyone was like, ooh, look at this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we saw Latavius Murray and Dawson Knox lined up wide last year. So the Bills, as a positionless team,
they've
been trying to kind of pull this off for a while. I don't know if it's any different from anybody else, really.
Sometimes you practice it to run it like 10 times during a season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they actually did use Diggs out of the backfield sometimes last year on, like, a third and short, and he would run a quick route from running back and would make the catch. But, I mean, they couldn't have done it more than, like, a dozen times.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, a feature of their offense.
So we're still getting, you know, positionless football and, you know, guys in the backfield. Okay, I don't know how much I'm thinking about Curtis Samuel in the backfield because I see him at training camp. I've seen that the last couple years, and you know, it's a coin flip whether or not you actually ever see in reality.
What about positionless receivers, though?
Positionless receivers.
Like, receivers that, unlike, you know, Beasley comes up here a lot because he was someone that could really only play slot. Gabe Davis was someone that didn't feel like you would ever want to kick in the slot.
He could only play outside,
so
right?
So how much different will they be on that front, where you kind of, for the last few years, I'm not saying the Bills haven't been great at receiver despite this, but you kind of knew mostly where everyone would line up. And is it truly different now that they could have any of these guys line up in any different spot?
It might be different, but that doesn't mean it's better. And without saying that it's worse. If you tell me you're going to give me an outside, a Z and X and a Y, prototypical ZXY, prototypical slot, which maybe Shakir is, and another good outside guy that's the Davis role, a guy in the Diggs role, and you never switch their positions, but they're good, I think I'm fine.
Yeah,
that's not how the Bills are going to tackle it this year, and maybe that's because Joe Brady wants to keep defensive coordinators guessing, or maybe it's because nobody is so good at one thing that they're a little bit more malleable. I mean, I'd be surprised to see Shakir out wide all that much. He lives over the middle. That's why Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir had such high efficiency last year. One of the reasons. Josh Allen, two, the two of them are pretty good. Three, they lived over the middle of the field.
Right.
Like, they played the slot. And it's harder to get the ball to the guy in the boundary. There's that clip we had recently, Tom Brady talking about how important it is to get your number one receiver involved in the game early. And he said it's easy to get the ball to anybody over the middle.
Yeah.
To get it to your outside guys is hard. And Brady's talking about it in that clip, saying, I made a point to try to get a ball to whoever it was because that guy works really hard. His job is way harder on the outside. And maybe the Bills are going to throw guys on the outside and not throw the ball there. We'll see. But Coleman, man, back to the point that we started with, which is if Keon Coleman ends up being a stud, that's great news, of course. And I want to decide how far I want to go in on this mini snark of mine.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a Twitter poll about this. Everybody for the last 2 months, I shouldn't say everybody, plenty of people for the last 2 months, 3 months, have been trying to sell the idea that having a great receiver is not great. Mm-hmm. It's bad. So if I offer you Keon Coleman gets 1,300 yards and wins Rookie of the Year, you have to be mad about that. Well, no, it's actually better to not have a guy like that. And they're selling everybody eats, right? Joe Brady says everybody eats, and I get it. They're going to spread the ball around. They've done that the whole time Josh Allen's here. They tied the NFL record for touchdown passes to targets. Right. Was it 14? They threw touchdowns to everybody. It's one of the hallmarks of Josh Allen is he does spread the ball around. Last year, Diggs got a lot of targets. That might be in large part because the rest of the receivers were the worst they'd been in a while until Shakir showed up and Brady got some more production out of him. So, you know, just thinking about what their offense might look like, what we want it to look like, we want it to be good. And, again, I don't know how to phrase the Twitter poll without making it seem like I'm trying to start a fight.
Yeah.
But if I offer you a standard, all right, they're going to finish top five in offense. What's better, top five in offense with no 1,000-yard receivers or top five offense with Keon Coleman going ham? It's way better if you get a stud.
It's much better if you get a – if he's great, if he's A.J. Brown.
It'd be amazing.
I mean, I don't even know how you could – I think we tried we hear the other side a lot right now because it's where they are. It's their current circumstance, right? Of, hey, there is another way to do this that can be okay if you don't have the top guy. But go back to what Bean said the day they traded Diggs. You know, because since they did that, it's, well, actually, if they have this guy and this guy and this guy and you have a bunch of guys and they don't know where you're going to go with it and you're going to have to force feed one mouth, like, hey, that could actually be good. Oh, look at the Packers 10,000 times in the last 3 months.
Yep.
What did Bean say the moment they traded Diggs? He said, we're not as good a team today as we were yesterday.
But then he said, but the offseason's not over.
And he did say the offseason. But, yep. but since then, they signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right. And they drafted.
Was Coleman after?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
draft was?
Yep.
Okay, that's right. You're right.
Yep.
Still, though, they said, would they tell you right now they think they're a better team without Stephon Diggs? Maybe they would right now. But in an honest moment, well, do they really think they're a better team not having Stephon Diggs right
a
now?
A lot of Bills fans are hoping they're a better team. And I also think that we're going to live in a year where everything that happens will be a reaction to Diggs. Oh, the offense is celebrating more because, you know, somebody tweet me this, they're having fun again. Okay, fine. They weren't having fun when a guy was on the team. I like to joke back that maybe they didn't like Mitch Morse. You know, like, not everything is going to be about the old number 14. And for me, like, that breakup, that timeline, it does make sense. If you go back to before it all happened, when we were on the wide receiver train talking about the draft and Keon Coleman or whoever, the idea was get somebody that will help this natural process where people were going to start expecting less from Diggs. That was the idea at the start,
right.
Was we need someone to help transition because by a year from now, and the Bills just kind of sped that up. So,
right.
You know, to say he's a depreciating or declining asset isn't controversial. It's maybe a little earlier than some had thought. But when they signed Curtis Samuel, which is the first thing that happened,
yeah.
I mean, Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com, who we have on the station, on the morning show, on the afternoon show, when they signed Samuel, he raved about it and said this is exactly the guy they need with Diggs, right? So you want to compare Samuel to Diggs. You want to compare Coleman to Diggs. Like, there are a lot of different ways they could have done this, and the way they've done it is fine with me. I always say, Joe.
It's just not good if one of these guys doesn't completely break out.
Right.
Coleman is the name for that.
I'll be blown away if no one does. If no one does, we'll be talking about finding someone that will. So, you know, everybody eats is just like your 1/11th. And the Bills' defense, here's another comparison if you want to do it this way. A defense is obviously bigger, has more bodies than just a receiver core or a pass catcher core. The Bills' defense is 111th. And along the way, what happened? Matt Milano made All-Pro. Jordan Poyer, first-team All-Pro. Tre'Davious White, amazing. Micah Hyde. Along the way, your stars show out. And you're going to have your A.J. Epenesa, who's a nice role player. Not everybody is going to be great. Somebody has to step up in this new-look defense that we're going to see this year. We're waiting to see, is fifth-round pick Javon Solomon a stud, diamond in the rough? Is Cole Bishop going to be the guy that they drafted him to be? We're going to find a bunch of new names. Terrell Bernard, right? Terrell Bernard was, okay, he's going to go in there. He's no Tremaine Edmonds. Actually, he's a stud. The idea that he would just blend into the wallpaper as 111th is a good idea in training camp, but the game is won by great players. The game is won by stars, and as long as you have, you know, guys that aren't taking that away, you're in pretty good shape. So the Coleman returns early, or the reports early on Coleman, I love what I'm hearing. I love it. The number one way to get me on board with anybody in this passing game is for them to be an amazing player that Josh Allen wants to lean on as much as he did Diggs. Too many people talk about forcing the ball there. What happened was Allen leaned on it because it was good, and he knew it.
Yeah.
You know, you trust Allen's instincts. When he's on the run, he would look for the same. Beasley, did he force the ball to Beasley, or did he just know, I've got a good thing here? And I think Kincaid will be that this year, and I do think Coleman will be that this year. They'll throw him a lot of balls in the red zone, and Allen will probably lean on him quite a bit.
Well, the idea of forcing it, by the way, isn't always a bad thing. I was watching, I did this again last week, and I mentioned this, that I just had to watch some highlights just to remind myself of what game football looked like. So I just had an Allen highlight reel on the other day. And there's a play early in the season last year against Washington where maybe it's early in the game before they started running away with it. And he's rolling out to the right, and he's got guys beating down on him. He's about to get sacked or have to throw it away. And he's looking. So what does he do? Okay, I got one last gasp here to keep this drive alive. Let me force the ball to Stephon Diggs. He's covered, but let me put it where only he can get it. It's going to be really tough, and he's going to have to make a tough catch, but I'm going to force the ball into a guy who's covered. And who am I going to throw it to? I'm going to throw it to Diggs. And what happened? It was a 40-yard play. So forcing the ball doesn't always need to be a bad thing, and that is an area where that often has been Diggs and Davis when he's rolling out, he's running around, he's buying time, and okay, the play's broken down, now he's just got to put it somewhere. And who's he trusting to put that ball on? Oftentimes it was those two guys, and this year it's going to be somebody different. And I do wonder if Coleman, as a rookie, can be that guy for Allen at all. When he's scrambling, when he's buying time, and the ball's got to come out, and he's got to force it somewhere, and he's got to throw it to a guy he trusts to at least have a play at it. I think Kincaid is definitely going to be that, right?
Yep.
Like, those types of plays, that's going to be Kincaid. But I wonder if Coleman can be that too, because his skill set, watching him on some of these catches, like, he really is, like, when the ball is near him, he's very often coming down with it. He's got, like, crazy tough hands, and you could see the physicality that he's got. So, like, the forcing the ball is going to happen along the way, and I think Kincaid is good for that, and I would hope Coleman is going to be the next man up for that.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to jump in. A thought with this on, you know, it would be a good season, would be an awesome season for Coleman, for anybody else. The receiver core, the pass catching core, it's, you know, a constant source of conversation. Sal at 7, Matt Parrino 8:30, Steve Tasker at 9. The news in the NFL from the weekend, there was a lot of it. Quarterback deals. Jordan Love and Tua both get theirs. Very different. By the way,
yeah,
the true numbers on the Tua deal are not bad at all, right? They're fine?
The numbers don't appear to be bad.
Sure.
It's a 3-year commitment.
Three-year commitment to the guy that led the league in passing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seems like a good idea to me. I mean, I know Bills fans like to dunk on the Dolphins and Tua all the time, and I'm sure you'll be doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a new axe to grind in my entire sports life.
Okay.
That is the way the NFL media talks about the salary cap and salaries.
Okay.
It is so broken. I can't wait to talk about it. I did some ridiculous, unnecessary, why would you do that level of work on salary stuff in the
okay.
NFL? Like, I'm just sitting home on a Saturday. It's beautiful outside.
It was nice out, wasn't
and
it?
And I got Spot Track open. I'm already crunching numbers on a Saturday, shouting into the air like, yeah, I knew that. Anyway, so I'll get you some of that as well. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We are live once again from Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. Going to be a hot one today. I'm going to take you down memory lane, ask if you're old enough to remember something from a long, long time ago at a camp. So we got that. We've got Keon Coleman, you know.
Was the clip of Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson yelling at each other real?
I want to get to that.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
The quote on it was not real.
Okay, that's what I meant.
But
okay.
The clip was real. Does Garrett Wilson want out? Got to ask that question. 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. Line open for you. And when we get back, I want to dig into some of that salary stuff. The Tua contract, the Jordan Love contract, what it really means. And if there's a way we should be looking at the Bills differently because of it. That's next here on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I mean, he's just such a likable guy. I don't think there's anyone on the team that wouldn't like him, but so much fun being in the room with him, kind of picking his brain on how he sees certain routes or how he sees a certain coverage. But it's really fun when we can be out there together because, you know, if we go out there in 12 personnel, it might bring an extra linebacker on the field, spread us out, get a good matchup for one of us. But if they decide to, you know, stay in nickel or something, we just bring us in the box and can run the ball. So I think the more tight ends you get on the field, I'm probably biased a little bit, but the more versatile your offense will be. But especially with Dalton, man, he's an awesome weapon.
Bill said in Dawson Knox, Bill said that right when they drafted Kincaid, that it'll force teams to bring a linebacker on the field, which it wouldn't force their own defense to do. But sometimes that is the case, and they can pass it. Sometimes teams will stay in nickel, and you can run. But if you're playing the Bills, they have a nickel-based defense that also tries to stop the run. It's their base. And there are plenty of teams like that. So sometimes you get that matchup you're looking for. Sometimes you don't. Jeremy and Joe from training camp at St. John Fisher University. Going to be very warm here. 89
degrees.
It's a
nice morning, though, right now.
It is nice. It is nice. Yeah.
I'm not freezing like I was last weekend. I also have a sweatshirt on, which definitely helps.
Yeah.
Not a cloud in the sky. We haven't had a lot of clouds.
No, that's right.
Here at St. John Fisher.
Tua gets a contract. Jordan Love gets a contract.
Yep. And you got a problem with the money?
I've got a problem with the way people talk about these contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's lost their mind.
Okay. In general. We're not talking Tua specific here.
No, or kind in general.
Okay.
I'll go back to, it was Rich Eisen. I love Rich Eisen. Who tweeted out the list of quarterbacks making more than Josh Allen and Mahomes.
Okay.
So he pointed out the new top eight annually paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Tua, Goff, Herbert, Lamar, and Hurts. Combined playoff record 16-17. Combined Super Bowls 3.
Mm-hmm.
Combined Super Bowl wins 0. Paying and hoping. The whole sport is paying and hoping, man. What are these teams supposed to do? The way that it's framed is like, if you didn't win a Super Bowl, you really can't pay your quarterback. Right. One guy is winning them right now. One.
Yeah.
Stafford has one, right?
He mixed one in there. He didn't have to play that guy.
That's right. He did not have to play that guy. Brady's got one. He's retired. What are these teams supposed to do? The responses, the replies to this Rich Eisen tweet about how these quarterbacks are making money called it bad business to pay these guys. I assure you that it's not bad business.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a quarterback costs you. Full stop, period, end.
Right.
Is Tua worth 53? Answer, yes. Yes, he is. You don't have to think he's great. He's definitely worth it. And I did a thing here. I did this with receivers, and now I flipped it over to quarterbacks. Because what happened with receivers? Can you believe Justin Jefferson got $35 million or $38 million? These salaries are out of control. No, they're not. They're just in line with the league. The league's salary cap, since Mahomes signed his contract, has gone up $57 million. That's a whole Jordan Love.
That's a crazy amount.
$57 million up since Mahomes signed his contract.
Right.
So.
And by the way, by the time these contracts work out, like what's Jordan Love's contract, the cap hit, like in year one, by the way? Is it like
$7 million probably?
Right. Is it probably some super low number like that? He, by the time he costs a lot of money, will it be up another $50 million?
Yes, probably.
This year it cost them 20.7. You know, when 20.7, then 29, then 36. Okay, then after that, 42 and 74, and they'll restructure stuff. By the time he's a $42 million cap hit, what will the cap be?
Another $50 million.
More than $42 million.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good point.
They're redoing all their television deals again. They're going to opt out. I mean, the NBA just signed the deal the NBA just signed is going to mean the NFL opts out every time they can and just adds more money.
Yep.
So I did some numbers on this. I crunched some numbers because I wanted to give it context. So here's your context. In that six-year stretch, right, it's the exploding receiver market. It's the exploding quarterback market. No, it's not. It's a rising tide lifting all boats. Everybody's getting more money. I got Christian Darrisaw for $28 million a year, right? Yeah. The Bills have Allen at a really reasonable price, and there's more to say about that in a minute. But I did a crossover here. So, Joe, Connor McDavid, let's bring in NHL, another league that has a cap. Now, these contracts are not restructurable, so these teams are locked in.
Yep.
Percentage of the cap at signing.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Tua comes in? I'm going to get the McDavid point in a minute. Percentage of the cap at signing. Number one all time is Joe Burrow.
Uh-huh.
How much he signed for and how much the cap was. Number two of all time is Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But since the cap keeps moving up, it has to pull salaries up with it. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, these guys are actually in the middle of percentage of cap at signing. So it ends up being a math problem. But the point is, the sticker shock, the league continues to print money, and they are, by collective bargaining agreement, required to give 50% of it to the players. They have to pay them. You can't be a guy that tweets me and say, I just wouldn't pay Tua. You literally have to. You have to spend this money. It keeps rolling in. You might not want to spend it on things. Imagine you win the lottery and you get a check every week for $1 million and they say you have to spend $500,000 every week. You might buy stupid stuff, but you have to spend it. Anyway, McDavid, here's the point I wanted to make on this. Like I said, I got fired up on Saturday doing my own math.
Yeah.
McDavid signed in 2018 for about 15% of the cap.
Okay.
6 years later, Austin Matthews signed for about 15% of the cap. Austin Matthews makes $750,000 more than McDavid.
Almost flat.
6 years later,
almost completely
no
flat.
Conversation about the exploding center market because the league is flat. Or has been. The NFL, you know what that number would be?
Hmm.
Player A would sign for $26 million. 6 years later, the same contract would be $38.
Huge increase.
$12 million increase on the same contract.
Right.
So if you think Miami's in a bad spot because they locked into a quarterback you think is limited, that's fine.
Yeah.
They paid him what quarterbacks get paid. Jordan Love, I think it's actually early to pay Jordan Love. He had eight good games. I do think it's early.
It's only early. They made it so that they had to choose or they had to make a decision early, right?
Right.
Because they decided not to play him for 4 years.
Exactly. By sitting him as long as they did, they gave up that market inefficiency, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think it's probably a little early for Jordan Love. But what'd they pay him? They paid him what quarterbacks are worth. Next year, Dak's going to get 60 if he doesn't get
– Dak's going to get 60
he
next
might.
Year. Yeah. Well, he'll get it from somewhere. He doesn't get it from Dallas.
Sure.
He'll get it from somewhere else.
Ja'Marr Chase should get 35, 38.
Yep.
On and on we go. Keon Coleman, his first contract. What if he ends up being really good and the Bills want to keep him in 4 years, he'll be like $46 million.
Yeah.
So
running back is the one place where this usually isn't
right.
true, though.
A little less on the exploding market and a little more on it's the entire league. They are required to spend the money. So there you go. There's my rant over pet peeve on the way we're talking about quarterbacks.
All completely fair to me. All completely fair. Like doing it by percentage, I bet how do teams do it? Don't they probably operate by percentage? He has been this at some point. Like, how much pay attention do you pay to the actual dollar amount versus the percentage of the cap year to year to year, projecting what caps are going to go up? Like, I think that's all completely fair. Like, because my problem with paying Tua, if I'm the Dolphins, isn't the money. It's that I have to play him for 3 more years.
You don't have to play him for 3 years. You don't.
You kind of do,
you
don't you?
The Bills paid Diggs and cut him. Or traded him. You don't have to play him
but
for
you're
3 years.
Taking on a there is a punishment though when you're doing that. And those quarterback contracts, like I've not looked at I've Love's contract currently open. Like what would it cost Miami to get out of it after this year? Could they do it?
Maybe not.
Because some of those guys cost like $90 million, $100 million.
The Broncos just moved on from Russell Wilson and paid $65 million and just drafted a guy.
Yeah.
Aren't they saving the money to pay him by drafting a guy? If you're someone that wants them to move on from Tua and thinks they've screwed themselves with Tua, you would say...
All right, looking at it right now, it's really more of a two-year commitment. Next year, it's an $84 million dead cap figure if they wanted to cut him.
And then the next year?
And that is, like, the Wilson that's $30 million more than even Wilson was.
Right, but now you're speculating what happens if they cut him in a year?
Because if I were the Dolphins, I would not want him as my quarterback for one more game, let alone one more season.
Who would it be?
Who would my next quarterback
be? Who would your new quarterback be?
I would have gone for Kirk Cousins. I would have gone.
Kirk Cousins, okay. Another guy that
I would have gone for somebody else.
Flawed, does not produce in the playoffs.
Or I would have drafted someone. I just wouldn't have him as my quarterback.
You would have given. It's funny because I speak. We're over here. We live in the posh apartment where Josh Allen's a quarterback, and we have to worry about this stuff. So these conversations can kind of get fun. You would have just paid $180 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. Because that's what it cost the Falcons.
Right. I have more. I like Cousins to me. I have more sample of operating an offense like that. He goes to the playoffs more often than Tua, and I get the same level of result. To me, that's also like a guy where I plug him into that offense. I would just expect better results than I would with Tua. Like,
would they beat the Bills?
With Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I think that they'd have a better chance than they would with Tua.
Would they beat the Bills?
Probably not.
Now you're just spending the money differently.
Probably not. Right. That I'm spending the money differently. To me, though, if I'm the
Dolphins. A 35-year-old off an Achilles injury, $180 million guaranteed.
I've got to work, though, if I'm Miami, on another plan. To me, if I'm the Dolphins. If I were the Dolphins right now, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I should say, what I'm afraid of right now is that quarterback is going to get my coach sunk. I think I've got the right coach, and I think with a desperate owner that acts in strange ways with coaching and quarterbacks in the past, I'm afraid that I've got the right coach in place, and I've got a quarterback that is going to sink him before that coach can get to a second quarterback.
Would he be the only person on planet Earth that thinks the coach is the problem?
Who, the owner?
Yes. He would have to be the only person on planet Earth.
Not the only part. Like, McDaniel's not universal one of the best coaches in football.
If you are someone, I don't even know if he's one of the best. He's definitely a good offensive mind. He brought that offense and identity, and they've been very good against non-playoff teams. They have their flaws, and most of those flaws are, whatever, if it's fair or unfair, are pinned on Tua. So,
right.
Maybe you're hoping that happens.
You don't think, if they miss the playoffs this year, that McDaniel is in real trouble?
I mean, only if the owner is an idiot.
That
might be possible.
I think the owner is. That's part of my process here about them paying Tua and at least committing to two more years for sure.
And you think they would hire a different coach to coach Tua for those 2 years?
I think they're
could get more.
I think he's going to coach. I think he's going to call Belichick up.
Well, he's going to have to beat Jerry Jones for that, because Jerry Jones probably going to do that once McCarthy gets fired. Anyway, contracts, fun stuff. Tua gets paid in Miami. You remember the Dolphins, the team the Bills beat for the division on a tiebreaker in a game they scored a deflection touchdown and a punt return touchdown.
I know you'll point out how close some of these games have that they have played. It's for Bills fans, they're not going to respect Miami until they feel like the Dolphins actually beat the Bills.
Well, I have a very sensitive comparison to make. That's not going to feel good, but I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Are the Dolphins to the Bills to the Chiefs?
Absolutely. 100%. Actually, you know.
Sure, you've beaten them, but they don't care about it.
You know
why? They don't think it counts, and you don't rate for them.
I heard this said on the Levitard show the other day, and it reminded me exactly of Bills Chiefs. One of them said, if the Dolphins beat the Bills in week three?
Week two.
If the Dolphins beat the Bills in week two, nobody's going to care. In Miami. Win the division.
Yep.
Win the division or win a playoff game. That's your whole existence. And isn't that the same thing for the Bills? If the Bills beat the Chiefs in November, what's everyone going to say?
Doesn't matter. Yep.
So I think it's exactly right, that those two comparing each other.
Football season. 8:03:05:50. Olympics underway. Watched a good chunk of the Olympics yesterday. We'll get a break in. Sal Capaccio, top of the hour. Plenty to get to, and your phone calls as well. If you want to pop on, 8:03:05:50, our number. You can tell us we're nuts, whichever one of us is nuts. I'm not even sure if we agree or disagree. Who cares? You can give us a call. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher on WGR.
Alona Ma. She's going to take on Lima with that piston-like fend. Lima's coming back for the second grab, but Ma just fends her off once more.
Ilona Maher, part of the highlights. She plays for the U.S. Women's Rugby Sevens. A freight train. A Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Yeah.
Joe, I want this woman on television as much as Caitlin Clark. I want to watch her play rugby every day. Kyle Brandt tweeted out, how can I get in touch with her? He wants to give her the angry run scepter.
Yeah.
Ilona Maher. When's their next game? Is there not one? Make one.
It's become must-see.
Yes.
We found our star of the Olympics. Every Olympics, you get a new star. Usually it's
Ilona
Maher.
I need next for her to go back in time. Give her the Olympic torch, and the game is someone tries to stop her. She smashes through everybody. Ilona Maher. Absolute star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
U.S. rugby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
American Olympic hero. Yeah.
Did you watch the U.S. and Serbia yesterday?
I did. The whole thing. So they looked awesome, and it was – you know what's funny? Is this just a basketball thing, or maybe it's this era of basketball where – oh, here's Team USA and all these brand new, young stars. Look at Anthony Edwards. Look at Devin Booker. Look at all these Jason Tatum, right? Like, hey, the league's being taken over by the young guys, right? And then Team USA shows up, and who's their best two players? By
LeBron
far, it's not even close.
Steph and
it's LeBron and Durant.
Yeah, Durant. Yep.
Like, LeBron and Durant. Nope, just still out here 12 years later, the best players in the world, undoubtedly. That to me was the most incredible thing. Durant was out of his mind. I think he was 9 for 9 in the first half, making like fall away fadeaways. Like it was, they were on display. Getting to watch LeBron do this at 40 is psychotic. It's crazy.
A bit of a stat of the day kind of thing here.
Yeah.
LeBron, Durant, and Steph are all older than Larry Bird was in 1992 on the Dream Team.
Wow. And didn't he not really play because his back was screwed up? I feel like I remember that from the documentary. I obviously wouldn't remember that from the time, but yeah.
I mean, Larry Bird, didn't he always kind of look a little old? Might have been born 35 years old.
Put that out of a poll. Was Larry Bird born 35 years old?
Was he born old? Anyway,
yeah.
LeBron, Steph, and KD are all older than Larry Bird was in 1992.
Yeah.
So.
And they're still the best three players, which is incredible.
U.S. beat Serbia. U.S. women's soccer looks dominant. They took it to Germany. They are a freight train right now. They're like Alona Mar out there.
And then there was one swimmer that I saw. I got to get her. Gretchen Walsh.
Yes.
Gretchen Walsh looks like she might be like, you've had, you know, Phelps, and then it was Katie Ledecky, right? Swimming often, I feel like, produces the big star of the Olympics.
Well,
I feel like Gretchen Walsh is going to be that.
We'll flirt with this hot take I saw later, that swimming is artificially inflated at the Olympics because of all of the medals that you can win.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying on this take. I read it from somebody over the weekend. We'll get to that later. Sal Capaccio joins us when we get back. Sal is going to join me in taking, well, a trip down training camp memory lane, and I asked Joe if he had ever heard this name before, and he said no, and I guarantee Sal will remember this, and it will be relevant this week here at Fisher for a reason. We'll get to that. 803-0550, I know, for a reason. Because of the weather. I'm thinking about it because of the weather. We'll explain next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Who would have to be the only person on planet Earth
not the only person. Like, McDaniel's not universal one of the best coaches in football.
If you
like,
are
I
someone,
think he's that, but
he's I don't even know if he's one of the best. He's definitely a good offensive mind. He brought that offense and identity, and they've been very good against non-playoff teams. They have their flaws, and most of those flaws are whatever, if it's fair or unfair, are pinned on Tua. So
right.
Maybe you're hoping that happens.
You don't think, if they miss the playoffs this year, that McDaniel is in real trouble?
I mean, only if the owner is an idiot. I think the owner is. That might be possible.
I think the owner is. That's part of my process here about them paying Tua and at least committing to two more years for sure.
And you think they would hire a different coach to coach Tua for those 2 years?
I think they're
like
gonna,
someone I think, could get more.
I think he's going to coach. I think he's going to call Belichick up.
Well, he's going to have to beat Jerry Jones for that. Because Jerry Jones probably can do that once McCarthy gets fired. Anyway, contracts, fun stuff. Tua gets paid in Miami. You remember the Dolphins, the team the Bills beat for the division on a tiebreaker in a game they scored a deflection touchdown and a punt return touchdown.
I know, you'll point out how close some of these games have that they have played. It's for Bills fans, they're not going to respect Miami until they feel like the Dolphins actually beat
okay.
the Bills.
Well, I have a very sensitive comparison to make that's not going to feel good, but I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Are the Dolphins to the Bills to the Chiefs?
Absolutely. 100%. Actually, you know...
Sure, you've beaten them, but they don't care about it.
You know
why? They don't think it counts, and you don't rate for them.
I heard this said on the Levitard show the other day, and it reminded me exactly of Bills Chiefs. One of them said... If the Dolphins beat the Bills in week three?
Week two.
If the Dolphins beat the Bills in week two, nobody's going to care in Miami. It's you will win the division.
Yep.
Win the division or win a playoff game. That's your whole existence. And isn't that the same thing for the Bills? If the Bills beat the Chiefs in November, what's everyone going to say?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
So I think it's exactly right, that those two comparing each other.
Football season, 8:03, 8:05, 8:50. Olympics underway. Watched a good chunk of the Olympics yesterday. We'll get a break in. Sal Capaccio, top of the hour. Plenty to get to, and your phone calls as well. If you want to pop on, 803-0550, our number. You can tell us we're nuts, whichever one of us is nuts. I'm not even sure if we agree or disagree. Who cares? You can give us a call. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher on WGR.
Lenemar. He's going to take on Lima with that piston-like fend. Lima's coming back for the second grab, but Ma just fends her off once more.
Ilona Marr, part of the highlights. She plays for the U.S. Women's Rugby Sevens. A freight train. A Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Yeah.
Joe, I want this woman on television as much as Caitlin Clark. I want to watch her play rugby every day. Kyle Brandt tweeted out, how can I get in touch with her? He wants to give her the angry run scepter.
Yeah.
Ilona Marr. When's their next game? Is there not one? Make one.
It's become must-see.
Yes.
We found our star of the Olympics. Every Olympics you get a new star. Usually it's
Ilona
Marr.
I need next for her to go back in time. Give her the Olympic torch, and the game is someone tries to stop her. She smashes through everybody. Ilona Marr. Absolute star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
U.S. rugby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Our new American Olympic hero.
American hero.
Yeah.
Did you watch the U.S. and Serbia yesterday?
I did. The whole thing. So they looked awesome, and it was – you know what's funny? Is this just a basketball thing, or maybe it's this era of basketball where – oh, here's Team USA and all these brand new young stars. Look at Anthony Edwards. Look at Devin Booker. Look at all these Jason Tatum, right? Like, hey, the league's being taken over by the young guys, right? And then Team USA shows up, and who's their best two players? By
LeBron
far, it's not even close.
Steph and
it's LeBron and Durant.
Yep, Durant. Yep.
Like LeBron and Durant. Nope, just still out here 12 years later, the best players in the world, undoubtedly. That to me was the most incredible thing. Durant was out of his mind. I think he was 9 for 9 in the first half, making fall away fadeaways. Like it was, they were on display. Getting to watch LeBron do this at 40
is psychotic.
It's crazy.
A bit of a stat of the day kind of thing here.
Yeah.
LeBron, Durant, and Steph are all older than Larry Bird was in 1992 on the Dream Team.
Wow. And didn't he not really play because his back was screwed up? I feel like I remember that from the documentary. I obviously wouldn't remember that from the time, but yeah.
I mean, Larry Bird, didn't he always kind of look a little old? Might have been born 35 years old.
Was, put that out of a poll, was Larry Bird born 35
years
old?
Was he born old? Anyway,
yeah.
LeBron, Steph, and KD are all older than Larry Bird was in 1992.
Yeah.
So.
And they're still the best three players, which is incredible.
U.S. beat Serbia. U.S. women's soccer looks dominant. They took it to Germany. They are a freight train right now. They're like Alon Amar out there.
And then there was one swimmer that I saw. I got to get her. Gretchen Walsh.
Yes.
Gretchen Walsh looks like she might be like, you've had, you know, Phelps, and then it was Katie Ledecky, right?
Yep,
like,
yep.
Swimming often, I feel like, produces the big star of the Olympics.
Well,
I feel like Gretchen Walsh is going to be that.
We'll flirt with this hot take I saw later, that swimming is artificially inflated at the Olympics because of all of the medals that you can win.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying on this take. I read it from somebody over the weekend. We'll get to that later. Sal Capaccio joins us when we get back. Sal is going to join me in taking, well, a trip down training camp memory lane, and I asked Joe if he had ever heard this name before. And he said no. And I guarantee Sal will remember this, and it will be relevant this week here at Fisher for a reason. We'll get to that. 803-0550. I know, for a reason. Because of the weather. I'm thinking about it because of the weather. We'll explain next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.